Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. Chris Mason, our next guest, driven by Freeland Chevrolet every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
What's new and exciting? Did you get through Ozark, by the way? Are you done with Ozark?
Hello? Might have lost you there. Oh, you back?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was going to say, did you get through Ozark? Are you done?
I am not. I am on episode 4 right now, and it is good.
Oh.
Yeah.
See?
I honestly can't believe how much has happened in the first 4 episodes. It's crazy.
I know. And it stays crazy. I'm on.
Does it really?
I'm on episode 9. Willie just finished. I'm on episode 9, so I've got 2 more to go to finish up season 3. And, yeah, it doesn't calm down, just to let you know.
No way.
Yeah, it's just going to stay crazy. So buckle up.
Good. I love it.
Well, it was fun. We had Craig Smith on earlier in the show, and we were kind of talking about, you know, like what's next, what's some shows that are next. So we're already starting to figure that out. He gave us some really good suggestions. Have you thought about that? What's next?
I haven't. I'm looking, too, because I've been kind of, I don't know, like I've kind of go back and forth. I wanted to kind of save Ozark. Like, I could have got into it right away, but I'm like, you know, we had the Joe Exotic there, whatever, Tiger King and all that. And, you know, those aren't kind of my thing, really. But that one, I felt I had to watch just because it was so crazy. But yeah, I kind of saved Ozark, but now I don't have anything. So Walking Dead, the finale of that's coming out. So I was just trying to time it right. So I had to start Ozark. But I don't have anything planned for after. If you guys got suggestions, I'm open for sure.
Well, I wrote down some that Crazy Legs gave us. He had told me this back during the season, and I brought it back up to him to make sure it was still a big thumbs up. The Ranch, and he said, "Oh yeah, it's a big thumbs up." So The Ranch.
That's a comedy one, right?
Yeah, I think it's Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, that's the only thing. I can't stand that guy.
Really?
He's not funny.
I'm not as big a fan of his either.
Like, he's just not funny. Like, I've never left a movie, and I left a movie that he was in. I think it was Just Married with him and Brittany Murphy, I think, or something. I honestly couldn't sit through it. He's just not one bit funny to me. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, then that's probably not for you.
Won't be watching that one. No, but
cross that one off the list.
If you have any other recommendations, I would be.
You see, he said Bloodline,
ooh.
Lock and Key.
Lock and Key, I haven't seen. Bloodline is really good, though.
Okay, so you have been in on Bloodline.
Yeah, it's good.
And he said Band of Brothers, of course.
Oh, that's, epic. Epic.
Yeah. He said no brainer. So there was some news that's come out during our show today, and it looks like that the neutral site idea is dead. So that has been scrapped. Lack of accommodations and how to televise it and all that. So that has been tossed out. The newest is probably 4 sites. And by the way, Emily Kaplan has said that she's hearing 4. It was 2 to 4 that was being put out there. 4 current markets in the NHL would be kind of like the host cities of this. And she put out there, Willie, you had sent us this during the break, that Raleigh, North Carolina, Minnesota, Edmonton, and a team to be determined in the Atlantic Division are kind of the favorites for the 4 like host cities to try to pick this thing and resume it. What's your vibe as we sit here? Right? It's interesting how this always changes week to week, but as we sit here toward the end of April, where are you?
I'm going to say, I think, you know, I really think it helps that they push the Olympics back, because I think then it just really extends the timeline of when they have to get something done. And it really, you know, opens the window up to more opportunities and different options and things like that. So I really feel that they'll will complete the season. They'll find a way. I mean, guys, look, like we're going to be going into a rollout of whatever back to normalcy or whatever the plan is called, with businesses and restaurants and, you know, just taking the proper precautions to get people back out and into the economy and get businesses going. I think it's feasible if they find a way to do this and take the proper precautions, which I think is completely something that is not out of the realm of possibility. I really think that they'll do everything they can. I really think that they'll find a way to complete the 1920 season. And whether it's the four locations or whatever the case may be, if they decide to go beyond that. But I just think there's so many different things that have to be taken into consideration. How the, you know, ticketing, how people will get into the arena, will you spread them out, the things in the arena, if eventually they bring fans back into it, but even the staff there as well. Like, who do you staff and what do you do with the broadcasters? Do we do it from a remote location? Are we on site, you know, under a separate protocol away from the players? Players will be sharing dressing rooms most likely and the facilities. So there will have to be a lot of precautions, but I know that's exactly what they're doing right now. But to your question, I think this season will get completed.
Is that just playoffs, or do you think regular season and playoffs?
I think they want to get the regular season done. And again, I think with the Olympics out of the way now and out of the, you know, for NBC and for all the TV rights and all those other things that have to go into the discussion, I think that, you know, they'll find some way to get a regular season. I just find, like, I really, you know, I was talking to Roman Yossi yesterday, and the challenge for these guys is they're going to need a training camp. They've been off. They haven't, you know, in the summer, he said, you know, usually in the summer before training camp, we're on the ice and we're, you know, getting ready. We're ramping up the on-ice stuff before we get into training camp and we go full bore there. These guys have no ice time. So they're going to have to find a way to open, you know, practice facilities or ways for these guys to get ice and then do a training camp. And then, you know, I don't know if they're going to, if they do try to complete the regular season, I think that'll be enough games for these guys to get back up to full speed before playoffs start. But it's going to be a big time challenge. That's the one thing I'm concerned about is the safety for the guys injury wise. But I know that between the NHL and the PA that they're going to take every precaution to prevent that as much as possible.
Chris Mason is with us, and we're talking a little hockey here as we continue to look ahead and see what we know. Some reports coming out today that the neutral site plan that has been floated out there, talked about in concept, they have moved away from that, and they are now looking at perhaps if they're going to resume the season, do it in NHL markets where the area is deemed safe. And, of course, this is all in theory. Hopefully it can continue to move forward, but Mason, you made an interesting point, and the three of us were discussing on the show a little bit earlier today about timeline, and we know that, you know, May, we're going to see some states open up some, Tennessee may be one of them, and we'll see how that goes, but that's going to go a long way. But you hit on a timetable that I guess we hadn't really thought of that much, even though we should have, is with the Olympics being canceled, NBC is the partner for the Olympics. So NBC has this open slate of dates. So what would you think of in July and August, if they were able to use those dates to complete this season, what ramifications do you think that would have on perhaps next season?
Well, that's a good question, too. I mean, the teams that will get hit the hardest are obviously the teams that make the playoffs because, you know, there's going to be, if they do finish the regular season, there's going to be 16 teams not playing right now. So it won't really matter that much to those teams, but the teams that, you know, the two teams and the four teams that end up in the last, you know, the conference finals and the final, that could be a quick turnaround. But I think that, you know, if it's just me and I have no, you know, information or, you know, on this at all, but I think that to complete this season would be, you know, objective number one. Number two would be, you know, if they have to push it back next season, a month, or whatever, I don't see that being a big deal. Or if they spread out some games or find a way to, you know, take the load off of the guys at the start of this season somehow, you know, these guys, there's going to be no stone left unturned about the right way to do this. So I just think that getting this season done is paramount. I think it's something that they absolutely want to do. So I think they'll find a way to make it right. And at the end of the day, you know, the NHL and the Players Association have to sign off on this. And I know that they both want the same thing. It's just a matter of finding the right way to do it. But again, I really feel confident that they will find the right way. And, you know, this season will get finished and then they'll figure out how to do next season. I don't see an issue with pushing it back though.
You've had a chance to talk to some people. You know, you and I have done some of these interviews for Fox about the upcoming replay of the games that led to the Stanley Cup final appearance by the Predators in 2017. They're going to call them the Golden Classics. They released it yesterday. We talked about it on the show. It's going to be fun, but you go back through with these guys. It always dawns on me, Mace, when you ask somebody about a specific game or a specific play, they don't always remember all the details. You kind of have to jar their memory some. And when you have such a long run, it's not like three playoff games in a football run to the Super Bowl. The details can get a little blurry, right? It's just that overall feeling, that whirlwind of excitement.
Yeah, exactly. And I find that too. You know, when I look back at my career or my whatever body of playing time, it's hard to remember a specific game. You know, there's maybe the odd one that'll stand out or the odd something that happened within that game that you remember, but you remember the feeling. You just remember the run, and it's just you're so laser focused, and just it's all about preparation, staying in that that mindset. You know, you're part of something special. And the one common thing I think we found when we talked to the guys and we talked about it is just the mindset and just the feeling that they had, that belief that this team had. Yes, they went in as an underdog, but that's not how they felt in the dressing room. And we talked about the first round against Chicago. Nobody picked the Nashville Predators to win that one. That was probably the worst matchup. I don't think they even did very well against them during the regular season. But for some reason, that's, you know, it seemed to me that that's the matchup that they actually wanted going into the playoffs. And, you know, it just manifested itself into an amazing run. But, yeah, a lot of the guys – you know, couldn't quite remember all the details of the run or specific. I'd say, yeah, you got this assist, you know, Matthias Ekholm on this goal against Anaheim. And he's like, you know, he had to go back and watch it to be refreshed on it too. So I'm thinking, man, that was a game winning goal. You made an awesome play. And, you know, it was just funny, but they do remember the feeling of that run and just, you know, just the way that they felt and, just the battles that they went through. And, you know, me too, as a fan and as a broadcaster, that was the most amazing thing that I've ever been a part of, especially not being a player, you know, because, you know, you kind of feel like you're part of the team and you're going through it with them. But that was incredible. But, yeah, I guess as a player, those, you know, you are truly part of a team, and those individual things, if you can do your part, it's just another one of the, you know, many instances where you're chipping in trying to help the team, whether it's a goal or an assist. But it all kind of, I guess, just jumbles into one giant feeling of amazingness.
Well, it'll be fun to watch these games, because I always find when I watch these games for a second time, regardless of what sport, you're surprised at how much you forget. And I'm one that prides myself on remembering the details and the big moments for trivia purposes and my own memories, but You miss a lot of the details when you go back and watch it. So those are coming here soon. So let's get the update from the Mason House. Mace, you guys have added a second dog to the family household here. How is that going right now? How's the rookie getting broken in?
She's great. Her name's Sunny, and she's a 4.5 month old Australian Shepherd. Our other dog Juno's an Australian Shepherd too, and it's just been. We've talked about it for a while. I'm sure a lot of people have. I know, which is good. All the shelters around town, I think, are pretty close to empty, or they're getting a lot of movement on their animals and everything. And so that's good. And this is, you know, life is just, it's always moving and it's always going fast, especially with us traveling all the time and kids in sports and school and a toddler and all that. So for us, this was the perfect time to do it. And Sunny's fitting in just great. We get to spend a lot of time with her, and her and Juno are getting along fantastic. So couldn't be better, to be honest with you.
Outstanding. Well, before I pass the baton to Chase here, let's wish Mace a happy belated birthday. You had the birthday a couple of days ago. I know you got a lot of love on social media, so we want to bring that same to the airwaves.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. You know, I honestly, I'm the least not birthday person. I don't tell anyone. I honestly don't, you know, think about it or care about my own birthday that much ever. I never really have, but I didn't go on Twitter or any social media that day. And then the next day I got bombarded and I, you know, had to obviously respond to everybody. And I think a lot of people knew because it was on social media. So I got a lot of texts and tried to get back to everyone. But I do appreciate the love. And yeah, it was fun. It was awesome. So, but geez, you look at the number. Huh.
So you finally caught up to your jersey number, huh?
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, and yeah. Times two or times 50%.
Oh, wait a minute, not anyway. Times two, no.
Yeah, not times two, times 50%.
Yeah, you're not that old, come on.
Yeah, no, I don't feel that. I still feel 25, don't we all?
Yeah, well, some days.
It depends.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, look, you're still out there practicing sometimes with the guys, so you are definitely still young.
Yeah, takes a little while to recover on those ones, though.
I was gonna say, can you describe to everybody out there listening what it was like the next day after an NHL start when you were playing, as opposed to just a practice now? You know, now that you've been out of the game, what the next day is like for a professional athlete?
Well, for me now, I mean, first of all, I used to love practicing too. And I love getting on the ice and walking on the Bridgestone Arena and looking up in the stands and, you know, just envisioning that place being packed. And there's certain, I think Skills has talked about this too, but this is such a thing. There's just these smells that are associated when you go to a hockey rink, you know, the Zamboni, the ice, the puck, there's just a certain feeling. And even for me, that's why I'll never, you know, pass up any opportunity to do that, even though, as you asked, the days after and the couple days after, it takes a little bit of time to recover with the body and everything like that. But it's something that I, throughout my NHL career, especially I had to remind myself when things weren't going so good to never take those moments for granted, because they're so special to get on like an NHL surface and even to practice with the guys and just to see. You know, Willie and I, we're all way up high in the rink, and sometimes the game looks a lot easier than it is. But to get back down and just to realize again and to be reminded how good these guys are, how talented, how, you know, much they put into it. I get to watch the preparation before practice of what these guys are doing to get ready for a practice. You know, some guys aren't going on the ice, some guys are, and it's just, it's really special for me even at this age. But yeah, it does definitely takes a couple extra days to get back in the saddle after that.
Chris Mason is with us. And also, while we're giving shout-outs for birthdays, I mean, what's up to Fraser? I heard him trying to make a cameo a few minutes ago. So good to hear that he's having a good time.
The only time when he goes down for naps is the only time that he's not moving. So, and that's a challenge to wrangle him up and get him in there too. But he tuckers himself out. But he is he's 2.5, and he is just constantly on the move. But he cracks us up every day. He's a funny kid, and he's a happy little guy. So, another thing to keep us busy while we're doing the quarantine thing, that's for sure.
I love it. So I had the chance to talk to Matt Duchene earlier today, and then, of course, Craig Smith. And I brought this up with both of them. And they had hit their stride in the season and were starting to really feel like they had momentum and things were clicking in the right direction. How much of that sense of unfinished business do you think that they have and will have if they can't complete this season, and how much that might sit with them for a while?
Well, you know, I think it was tough because obviously we all know that this was in large part a really tough and trying season for the Preds. I felt until, you know, that point, maybe the last couple of weeks before, that they'd never really been able to get it going full tilt and to play up to their, you know, capability and potential as a team. I think everybody really believed that they have a good team. I know I really believe that. I think everybody believes that they have a good team. Obviously, on paper, they're a lot better, but it just never really materialized. But I think the last 2 weeks, they really started getting John Hines's systems. They really started full buy-in. It started to seem automatic. Every time they went on the ice, I felt, you know, really good about their chances to win the game and to play well. Juice was playing awesome. Like you mentioned, a couple of the big dogs that we've been kind of harping on, you know, all season to get going and to start carrying this team in some of the games and, you know, putting them on their back. I really felt that they started to do that. And you could just see, too, with their body language, they were a confident team. And it just seemed like it was setting itself up to be, you know, really good, you know, situation going into playoffs. But now, with this, they're going to have to find a way to recapture that. But I guess the good thing about it is, you know, they ended on a good note. They're feeling good about their team, and then, you know, getting a chance to recover. And some of the guys, you know, you're never at 100%. And there's a lot of guys banged up. You get the opportunity to come back and, you know, get that rest your body and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that feeling and that mojo and that momentum is definitely going to have to be rediscovered again. It's tough to do that, but having said that, you know, they can look back and really use the last couple weeks there of their season as the guidelines and kind of the basis for the way that they have to play. But you know, for Juice too, Juice was on fire. He was playing every game, lights out, and that's going to have to start over again. You can't just carry on from where you left off. It's going to be a challenge.
No doubt about it. Thank you for the weekly visit, as always, and continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. You too. Take care.
All right. That is the recent birthday boy, Chris Mason, who joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and he is driven by Freeland Chevrolet, also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. More on the other side, ESPN 102.5, The Game. The Predators just tweeted out a video of Sonny Gray, current Cincinnati Reds pitcher, as Ryan Porth spills his drink. Whoa, did I just hear Sonny Gray? What about Sonny? What about the Reds? What? He is, I don't know what, if this is a commercial or what this is, but it's Sonny throwing at a camera, and the little kid in the video has got a Predators hat on. Pretty cool.
Oh,
as Ryan
cool.
Porth gets very excited. Did you say Reds?
Did you say Reds and Preds?
Right, Reds and Preds. Sonny Gray. What about Sonny? What did he do?
Reds and Preds. That's what we're calling his bachelor party.
It's pretty clever. I like that. For Randall?
Yeah, for Randall.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, it's interesting. So, you had Matt Duchene at 9:30 on these airwaves today, this morning. You had Craig Smith on at 11 o'clock, and then you just heard Chris Mason and just kind of the different layers of talking about what could possibly happen moving forward. I think it's pretty safe to say that C-Mace was the most optimistic, for sure, of maybe how this is all going to play out.
Well, first off, I was watching the Sonny Gray video. It looks like something out of The Natural, with Roy Hobbs playing in the field, you know, the cornfields or whatever, mm-hmm. where he's from in Iowa. Or what state is he from officially, Roy Hobbs, before he goes on the journey and ends up for the New York Knights? I can't remember what Midwestern state he's from. Nebraska? I don't know.
It sounds.
It's been so long since I've seen
know.
That.
Yeah, I don't know. But Sonny's in some sort of field, I guess in Smyrna. And he's throwing the ball at a camera, and of course that's a kind of a fun thing to watch.
Well, that's in my backyard. Where he's
Sonny's over hanging out.
So could you see Sonny from where you were?
Yeah.
Is that your camera? He just threw a 90-mile.
No, it wasn't my camera,
and
but he was doing that in my backyard.
He and Maddox are having a game of catch.
Yeah.
Maddox is working on his hitting. Sonny's working on pitching.
It's a good video.
Let me know how
you'll
get
a kick out of that. It's well done. But, yeah, I thought Mace was optimistic. And maybe something we hadn't considered is maybe as time moves forward here, the league is getting a little more confident that they can do this in their own league cities rather than a neutral site, that it's just a better option to go. I was working under the assumption that maybe the only place you could do this was a remote place like North Dakota. Maybe it's just a sign that the league is a little bit more confident and the logistics could work in an NHL city.
And so now we sit and wait.
And as Tom Petty said, the waiting is the hardest part.
It is.
But did you guys sense that from Mace, that he was a little more optimistic than the tone that we've had throughout our show today?
He's the most optimistic person that I think we've talked to.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. I mean, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear somebody have those kind of thoughts. And I think like Craig Smith and Matt Duchene are too, but they're just, you know, I think they look at it as it's the Predators' motto: don't get too high, don't get too low. I think that's kind of how they're going about it.
Sure.
Well, and I think everybody through all this has had times to get too high and too low.
Oh yeah, there have been some days where you're like, you're feeling great, and like, hey, we're close, we're gonna be back before you know it. And then there's some days like, yeah, we're never going to another sporting event again. It's over.
You got to keep that even keel.
I think we've all been through all the stages during quarantine times.
I've been through
a
lot.
Okay,
of stages.
Okay, so let's take Emily Kaplan's.
Care to share?
No.
Okay, so if you're not willing to share, let's take Emily Kaplan's three cities that she tossed out there. Okay, Carolina, away from New York, etc. Carolina is the Metropolitan Division, so you have the three New York teams in there. Obviously, New York is probably not going to happen anytime soon. Carolina, the location of the rink is away from everything,
mm-hmm.
right? But obviously, hotels are not. Hotels,
nope.
You'd have to take a 15, 20-minute ride minimum. But certainly you have space around the rink, but I don't know that
unless
is the
big
thing.
Unless they're going to stay on NC State's campus.
Exactly. Now, that's something I guess is worth thinking about. Could you house players there? Or there's a high school, Cardinal Gibbons High School, that I think is a boarding school, if I've got that right. Might be. I'm not sure. Is there housing in there? I don't know. There's certainly a lot of space. But that's interesting that Carolina has been thrown out there. Minnesota. Now let's take the setting of that place. Right in the middle of St. Paul. Right downtown.
That's where the rink is? It's on the St. Paul side?
Yes, it's in St. Paul, and it's right downtown. So it's in, you know, it's not like there's skyscrapers all around, but it's a city. You know, there's stuff all around it. There's hustle and bustle. So a completely different atmosphere than Raleigh. And then the third one was Edmonton. And one of the things that is unique about Edmonton is you have a brand new rink, and it is located attached to a lot of brand new infrastructure. In other words, you wouldn't have to go outside, at least some of the teams that's staying there. If you stayed in the hotel that has been built right alongside of the arena, you wouldn't even have to leave and go outside at any point. There's also an extra practice rink right there, too, in the arena, that you not only could have teams practicing, but you can, in theory, you could play a game there if you had no fans. I don't know if you would want to. I don't know if you could televise games from there. But that's just what jumped out at me in those three places. But, of course, the real key factor is going to be, is that particular city given the go-ahead that you can play, right? That you can have gatherings and you're back to work, all of those things. Those are big. Because I even kicked this around in my mind. What about if you're thinking about Carolina, Minnesota, and Edmonton, three completely different places, different settings, then where would Nashville fit on the grid with the uniqueness of its downtown? All the hotels within a couple of blocks of the arena. You know, is that feasible in some way? Is that logistically feasible?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I actually was thinking about that. I was going, well, where would Nashville be in the pecking order, and why wouldn't it be pretty high up in the pecking order, quite honestly? The other one that I have any firsthand knowledge to is Carolina. I understand the setup. I've been there. I haven't been to Edmonton. I haven't been – actually, Minnesota's the only team – the only place I haven't been in the Predators division. And so I'm not familiar.
I've been
with
to Minneapolis, setup. But I've never been over. I think I've been to St. Paul.
That's it. I've never been to St. Paul. I've never seen the setup. I understand the first thing that jumped out to me is the whole Raleigh. There's nothing there. There's nothing around there. The arena is right off the interstate, and there's a football stadium.
You'd have to have some bus drivers that would have a lot of time. They would be they'd be on call for a long period of time, and they've had a lot. They'd have a lot of mileage.
Why would Nashville be high for alone? Just logistics, it makes a ton of sense because of everything is right here, right by the arena, and so you could house. They could house everybody and accommodate everybody, and you would have everything you would need to do to make this one work. Numbers wise, what the state of Tennessee? I mean, we've been pretty good, right, as it compared to everybody else, have we not?
Right. Well,
so why wouldn't Nashville I be high on the list? Or
and they could be at some point. Like, I wonder if they can add more cities as we get closer. So you go from 4 to 6 or to 8 or something like that, and I would think Nashville should be considered. Now, here's a couple of questions that I have, and it's more just thinking out loud. Let's look at Minnesota for a second, the arena in St. Paul. I know they've ruled out the neutral sites, but, you know, that's a unique setup with the Twin Cities. Minneapolis has an arena where the Timberwolves play. Is it feasible that they could use both facilities? And then you have more.
I don't know that they'd use that one, but I think what you do have in Minnesota is a lot of ice.
Right.
Right? High schools have a lot of facilities. University of Minnesota has a facility. I don't know if all of the games would be played in one venue. My guess is you would do that. You would play all the games in one venue, but practice space, right. If you had 4 or 5 teams, you need places for those teams to
Nashville,
practice.
I mean,
well, you could do that with the Ford Ice places. You could bus people out.
Right. I think there's enough now in Nashville that you could do it.
Yeah.
And hypothetically,
and the Predators
speaking,
obviously can control that.
This is, again, just kind of talking out loud, thinking out loud. Hypothetically speaking, couldn't you set up a rink at Municipal and use that as a practice facility if you needed the extra space?
I don't know when the last time they had ice.
I have no idea.
Down there.
Again, I'm just asking.
You have the space to do it, I guess, if you wanted to take the time, but it's been a long time.
But you have two sheets.
Since somebody skated over there.
Centennial and then 2 Ford Ice Centers with 2 sheets each.
Yep.
So.
That's 6 right there. I mean, that's enough.
Plus the arena.
That's plenty to do
meanwhile,
what you're talking about.
The other thing, too, is how far in advance are we looking? And, of course, we can't know what the status of each city is going to be. Let's just take Minneapolis, Raleigh, and Edmonton. They may all three be in different stages. They might say, hey, we can do this now. Yeah, we can do this. But maybe the picture changes. Hopefully it doesn't. Right. Hopefully everybody does it right and we continue to progress and we don't have a second wave of cases. But, for example, I'm looking at a release by it's coming from Channel 4's website. The Metro Nashville Coronavirus Task Force continues to emphasize that the city will not reopen until certain metrics are met. So metrics will guide the reopening of the city, even though I know our governor would like to get things cranked up on May the 1st or, you know, the last day of April, whatever.
But not really, though. He kind of took it off his plate. I mean, he basically dropped it in the lap of all the
right.
counties and cities.
Right. So a lot of cities are saying, yeah, we're ready, or counties rather, but Davidson County is not one of them, right? So Davidson County is on a different, and they should be. It's the biggest county. There's the most people, so their issues are different than a rural county,
sure,
you know, an hour drive away from
no
here.
Question.
So that's going to be something that we have to monitor. So one of the things that we have to project is where would Nashville be? Where would any NHL city be on July the 1st or June the 15th, whenever the target day would be? That's hard
and
to
I,
know.
I know these. If I start asking too many of these questions, it's going to show how little I know about, you know, politics and how all this works. But as I was thinking about this yesterday, so each city and each county, though, has a mayor, correct? And so how does that work? If Smyrna's got a mayor and Murfreesboro's got a mayor and Rutherford County, so how does that all work? How do you determine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
Yeah, because there's not a mayor of a county necessarily. There could be a county that has, you know, a couple different mayors.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Within the county. So
right, if you've got
a mayor of Smyrna
and a mayor of Murfreesboro, but yet they both reside in Rutherford County. So how does that work?
I don't know. Like, we don't have that because we're, you know, metro. But like in Knoxville, former wrestler Kane, Glenn Jacobs, is the mayor of Knox County, but then Knoxville has a mayor. It's just I don't understand it either.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, does one supersede the other? You know, how? So that's a very good question.
Like, because it looks like everything is going to be in phases. So who determines, you know, what's phase one? Who determines what's phase two?
Right.
Like I said, it just makes me sound, just goes to show you how clueless I am.
What if the county you're in is in phase one and the county two counties over is in phase three?
Right.
Right, that's in theory what's going to happen, really, across the country. You could do it state by state. State A is in phase two. State B is still only in phase one. State C has moved on to phase three. That is what we could be dealing with. And then, you know, this is what we have our fingers crossed won't happen, is you go from phase three, but then you got to go back to phase two, or you got to go back to scratch. You got to go back to lockdown or safe at home. Right, because you've had another outbreak. That's what we hope doesn't happen. That's why we have to be smart in how we go about the phases. True?
No question.
True.
I will say this. I did get out yesterday. You know that I've told you guys. I've been holding private workouts because obviously we haven't been able to do anything team-oriented this whole time. But I've offered up to do private workouts because we have a field. And I did notice, I did that yesterday with a kid on the team, and I did notice activity-wise, I kind of feel like everybody, you know, and it's like, okay, let's all be careful here because I feel like everybody got really excited by the news, right, from the governor, that everybody is kind of jumping out there. It felt a lot more active around, you know what I mean? Everything was visibility-wise. I've been doing this the whole time, and it's been pretty quiet. And then yesterday felt, I don't want to say, you know, business as usual. It's not that, but it certainly felt like there was much more of an uptick to activity than anything I've seen, because I've been going out
two, three times a week. To me, activity, as long as it's smart, right? Like you said, it's private. It's not a big group. You know, I know my son and I, we've done a lot of one-on-one. I've been shooting hoops with him, passing him balls, doing drills, going outside and throwing, playing catch, long toss. In fact, my arm feels great. I feel like I can, I feel like I'm in the best shape I've been in pitching-wise in a long time just because I'm throwing a lot more. But activity, as long as it's smart, like I see people in our neighborhood, they're walking all the time. I see some people in our neighborhood two or three times. On a couple of different walks, different times of the day. The weather's nice. You should get outside, right? But that doesn't mean you're violating the social distancing guidelines, right? You just have to be smart about knowing what's okay to do. And like if we're all driving around picking up food for dinner, then that's good, right? That's what we want. We want to keep these businesses going. We want to support the places where they're open, keep people employed, all that, delivery people, delivering food, delivering services. So that's good, right? It's just, you know, when we start opening businesses back up, we just have to be smart in how we do it.
Yeah, I really wasn't talking about the neighborhoods because you're right. When the weather has been nice, there's certainly a lot of activity in the neighborhoods because people they have to get out and do something, whether it's family walking, the dogs walking, all the above. Kids riding bikes. I mean, I've been in this neighborhood 12 years, and it is by far the most activity I have ever seen out and about, like kids in the street, right? It feels like almost like when we were growing up. I imagine that's kind of what our neighborhoods look like all the time back in the day, right? And that's what it's felt like here. I'm talking about just going from point A to point B. I felt like yesterday I noticed a lot more just, you know, people out and about. So have to still be careful. Just wanted to, yep, to pass that along. Have to be careful, but I feel like people are getting excited, and I certainly don't want to, you know, damper excitement because people, or temper excitement because people, you know, hopefully things will get better in the month of May. But I also don't want everybody just to forget what we've worked hard to get to and just drop everything.
Let's not be overconfident.
Right, let's not over.
Don't go around hugging everybody. Just, right, you know, let's just chill.
Yeah, no hugs.
No.
Not yet.
We're not ready for hugs yet. Willie, tell everybody about Lee Company, and then we'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's show.
All right, let's tell you about Lee Company. They're very confident in what they do to provide great services for you, including the home maintenance plan. Right now, we are no go. We're in that nice zone where it's the right temperature outside. We don't have to run either our heat or our air conditioning. But we know one or the other is going to be called upon soon, probably the air conditioner. And before too long, it'll be the AC all day. So make sure that your systems are running properly in your home. That's the idea behind the home maintenance plan for Lee Company. You get on board, you pay a small monthly fee, about $12 a month, and in exchange for that, you get the four annual checkups, your heating, your cooling, your plumbing, your electrical system. You'll get those four calls per year. You get those annual checkups. They'll make recommendations. They'll make sure everything's running fine. They might find the small problem before it becomes a big problem. And when you do need to do repairs, you'll get discounts on those repairs from Lee Company. It's a great system. Works for us. Give them a call at 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000. Or go online at leecompany.com.
Willie, you threw out Roy Hobbs to Iowa, but I think you threw out a couple of other things. You need to trust your gut because Iowa was correct.
It was Iowa, okay.
Yeah, it was Iowa.
Well, so I was wondering if I was confusing that with Field of Dreams where he says, is this heaven? And he says, no, it's Iowa. So both Field of Dreams and The Natural, they were born out of Iowa, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I said I was at the field yesterday and noticed a little bit more activity. One of the activity, and we've pretty much had this place to ourselves for the most part, but yesterday there was a young man up there hitting with a coach, an older gentleman who was, this guy was absolutely crushing the ball. And so they started up a conversation, and this young man is 20 years old and he's from Venezuela, and he is, because he had Arizona Diamondback shorts on and a shirt on, a workout shirt, and he is in their AA. He is in their system in AA for the Diamondbacks, and I believe their home is AA Diamondbacks. Is that not Jackson? Is that not West Tennessee?
What are they now? The Generals.
The Generals, that's right. Yeah, the Generals.
Yeah, they used to be the Diamond Jacks. I almost said that. But they are the AA affiliate of the Diamondbacks, yep.
Okay. So he plays
they're not the Diamond Jacks?
They used to be. They were at one time. Okay. Now they're the General.
Yeah, they're the Generals. But he was up there.
It's a nice little park.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never been there, but I've heard it's a really nice park.
Yep.
Look, all of them today are really nice, right? At all levels. Used to be, usually, you know, your best shot of getting a good minor league park was in AAA, but nowadays you go to Montgomery, Alabama, the Montgomery Biscuits, yeah, a cute little ballpark.
Birmingham,
really nice. Birmingham, nice.
Or that might be AAA.
Birmingham,
Darren.
AAA.
Someday you're going to take a squad to Jackson for a tournament. They have a great complex there that you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Really, really nice layout. A lot of different fields, and it's very, very close to the AA ballpark. So it's very convenient. You know, you play by day, and then maybe you go at a game that night if you want to. But they have lights at all the fields, so you can play at night. It's a cool place. It's really well planned out. And someday you're going to see Jackson. You're going to get a good look at Jackson.
Yeah, Birmingham is double.
There's a lot of those tournaments.
And we went there, Darren.
Birmingham is what? Is double A?
Yeah, it's double A.
Yeah, because they're in there with Montgomery and right. Knoxville. The Smokies have a nice little ballpark that
yeah,
we
in
go
fact,
to
Birmingham, remember, they built a whole new double A stadium.
Regions Field,
I think in downtown, yep, which is a you know, and they have not tore down the old place at the Hoover Met where they still play the SEC tournament. And that's another place where they have built a huge youth baseball complex, and there's a lot of tournaments. You'll probably take some teams down there, Darren, before it's all over. That's a beautiful place, too.
I look forward to that stuff right now, especially hearing that right now in these times. I so look forward to those times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Let's get my juices flowing just thinking about it.
No doubt. All right, so what would you guys – let's play this quick game as we sit here – because tomorrow, obviously, we'll have a lot of draft-heavy stuff on the show.
Mock draft at 9 a.m. Check it out.
Okay. There you go. That'll get everything started with all of our live coverage. What would you put the odds of right now, today, if I ask you, percentage that Joe Burrow is drafted number one overall to the Bengals is?
100%.
100%. Chase?
99.9%.
99.9%. Chase Young, number two overall to the Redskins. Percentage?
90%.
90%, okay.
I mean, I'm going to go 90% too.
Is this because you think somebody's going to jump up, trade with the Redskins to take Tua at two? Or you think – is that because you're leaving a little bit of a sliver of a window open that they go somewhere else other than Chase Young?
Yeah, I think Chase Young – will end up on the Redskins. But that doesn't mean it would be number two to the Redskins.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Because they could slide down to three or four and still get Young. The quarterbacks go above. I can see that.
Okay. Percentage chance that Tua is drafted by the Dolphins at five. Drafted by the Dolphins at five. That's the language.
By the Dolphins at five.
At five.
Because the wild card would be somebody jumps up and grabs
that.
But
that's got to factor into your percentage.
That's how he's asking the question. I mean, the Dolphins could trade
45%.
With New York.
45, so less than 50, okay?
I like that, Willie. I'll say 50%, but I like Willie's better.
So I'm going to assume, before I get your answers, you have low percentages of 50 or less because you believe the Dolphins are actively going to seek a trade to move up to get their guy.
They're making calls.
If the Dolphins trade up to three and take Tua, that doesn't count, right? That doesn't go in my percent.
No, that would be
in a different category, right?
Well, it would
you
lower
said
your
Dolphins
percentages.
Pick at five.
It factors in, right? It's lowering your percentages because you feel
exactly. That's why I go 45 because I think that's a big percentage of it too.
Ian Rappaport
they end
put
up with
this,
Tua, but in a different spot.
Ian Rappaport put this out an hour ago. The Dolphins have called the teams in front of them for a possible trade up from five, and are gauging the price to come up to number three to potentially take an offensive tackle.
Yeah, that's not happening. There's no chance of that. It's ridiculous. If they're trading up, they're getting Tua. They're not trading up to get an offensive tackle.
That's what you think.
Because, look, if you're in the Tua sweepstakes, whether you're right, okay, who's behind them? Chargers, Jacksonville, right? Those are all teams that absolutely could be in the market for a quarterback.
Right.
If you're going to do it, you're trading up to three or four to do it. Like, everybody's going to try to – those teams below Miami are going to jump up to take Tua, in my opinion. All right, last one quickly. Percentages the Titans draft at 29.
55%.
40%.
Oof. I'm surprised as adamant as you've been. It was even 40%.
Yeah, I almost went 30, but I'm buying myself a little bit. But I'm going 40%.
Hall of Fame coach Muffet McGraw has decided to leave Notre Dame as the women's basketball coach after 33 seasons, stepping down 33 years at Notre Dame. It is closing time, and guys, that will do it for our show today. Like I said, tomorrow we'll be sitting there on the doorstep of the first round of the NFL draft, so we'll talk a lot about that tomorrow on the show. You have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.